You know, I pray for the Lord to reveal to me what He wants me to talk about. And, you know, there's power in His Word, isn't there? Transformational power. His Word is eternal. So when we speak what He has already said, amen, that Word is life. Amen. But today we get to speak the Word of God by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. So when we receive His Spirit, amen, then we become a vessel of God. And we prophesy as we speak what the Lord gives us to speak. And it's a very spontaneous, if you will, utterance. And so God wants you to prophesy. God wants you to speak on His behalf. Amen. So pray and ask the Lord that He would use you to prophesy. Amen. To be able to speak His words to others. How many know it's very important that we hear the Word of God? Amen. And the Word of God is living. It's powerful. Amen. It's a surgical instrument. Amen. It cuts out the unnecessary things. It separates between our thoughts, you know, and the Lord's thoughts. And it goes deep, doesn't it? So we need to have a hunger, a desire for the truth. Because if you don't have the truth, then you'll live a lie. It's just the way it is. You will live a lie if you don't know what the truth is. And there are many people living a lie, thinking they're living in the truth. Well, it's their truth. But my truth is just an opinion, amen. God's truth is eternal. And so I'm not going to live by my opinions. I've done enough of that, amen. And so if I tell you something I'm not quite sure about it, I just have a sense that it may be correct, I'll just tell you, well, this is my opinion. All right? And but there are other things that I know that the Lord has confirmed in me. And so we're learning how to listen, learning how to navigate by His voice. Having been set free. Now, this is what came to me. And sometimes how it works is that I'll just ask the Lord to give me a word. And I know sometimes you're just hoping that a whole monologue will just drop down in front of you. And then there it is. And you just start writing it out. But often it will be just that, a word. God says, this is what I want you to talk on. Amen. And even when you're doing like an expository verse by verse, you know, there are things that as you're reading, it's just not speaking to you. It doesn't seem to be living, you know, even though the word itself is alive. But there are times when the Holy Spirit is highlighting things as you're reading through. That's when we need to stop and pause and pay attention. Amen. And meditate, if you will, on the word. And, you know, a lot of when we talk about meditation, we're not looking, you know, we're talking about a speaking forth. Amen. And even in the hearing and savoring in our hearts the word. Amen. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So he's saying I have to treasure, internalize the word of God. But when we're studying and you're in the word, amen, the Lord will highlight something to you. Pay attention to that. You know, and sometimes even in prayer, the Lord will just drop something in. And I know it wasn't my thought. And so I will go with that. And if it's the Holy Spirit, if He's in that, amen, He will begin to develop. He'll open it up. So sometimes a word will come to you, but that's only a key that will unlock greater revelation. Okay. And so today I heard this, and the Lord said, having been set free. Having been set free. And so, of course, Romans 6:22. Title of the message today is Having Been Set Free. Romans 6:22. But now, having been set free and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me today. Give me exactly what I need to say now, Lord. I rely upon you in Jesus' name. So when Israel was delivered out of Egyptian bondage by the blood of the Lamb, right, they became a free people. But they had never known freedom. And in Exodus 12:41, it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, So there was generations that grew up in slavery, never having known freedom. On that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And all who came out of Egypt, they knew nothing about what it meant to be free. Because, again, they had lived their entire life as slaves. So they were told what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Their life was not their own. Kind of reminds me of being in the military. You become property of Uncle Sam, and it's no longer your life. They tell you when to get up, when to go to sleep almost. Well, but you become basically property of Uncle Sam, right? How many here have experienced that one, right? Yeah. So you can identify a little bit with that. And of course, governments and human government, there are those who would like to do the same thing, oppress, amen, and to completely control, you know, even co-parent your children. You know, sorry, but I don't need your help. Thank you very much. I can do quite well with the Holy Spirit, amen. But man has always had this tendency to want to control others. You know, and that is really that satanic fallen nature that we were born with. And you see that even as people learn how to bully others, you know, when the kids are yet small and they're starting to bully one another. They're starting to use fear tactics to control others. And sometimes people do that out of fear that they will be controlled. Out of insecurity, you know, people bully other people. So it's not really a sign of security, but insecurity when a person is bullying somebody. But, you know, if you've lived your entire life as a slave, then you wouldn't understand what it's like to be free. And God set them free, and yet they were still enslaved in their minds and their thought life. So God brought them out of that place into the wilderness to teach them how to think and live as free people. He was going to be their provider, their protector, their comforter. In Deuteronomy 8:3, so he humbled you, he said, and allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So the wilderness was not going to be an easy path. And sometimes when we have a victory in our lives, we just think it's going to be smooth sailing from then on out. Right? And when you're born again and you're in that initial love buzz of everything happening in your life, and you're just thinking, man, this is going to be great. I'm no more trials, no more difficulties. Sometimes you can get that mindset because it seems like everything you pray for, God answers, you know. And right? Been there, done that, right? And then all of a sudden, here comes the trials. Now you find yourself in a place that you would not have put yourself, but God put you there because he wants to condition you. Come on. He wants to prepare you for what he has up ahead for you. He wants you to be able to handle what he entrusts to you. So you have to go through testing in order to be promoted, in order to be advanced. Amen. If we want to grow up and be like Jesus, it's going to require some testing. Amen. There's going to be difficulty. There's suffering in the offering. And they didn't understand. They just thought, wow, this is so great. We're free at last. And before they, I mean, it was only a few days and they're already starting to complain about things, conditions. And some had already, because again, they had a slave mentality. They're already thinking, well, it's better just to go back. But he brought them out for a reason. It was necessary, though, to prepare them for their future. How many know sometimes our walk is long, right? Our path is difficult. But the people were already free. But they had to come to a realization of that. They had to overcome a slave mentality. And so do we as believers. We need to overcome that slave mentality that we were born with. And that comes through a knowledge of God, a knowledge of the truth. See, the problem today is that there are, especially in America, a lot of Christians do not even know the word. They don't know their Bible. They don't know what the truth is. And they don't study it. So they remain a slave in their minds because of a lack of light, of revelation, of truth. And so even though they may think they're doing God's will or doing a good thing, they could be in error and not even be aware of it because of a lack of knowledge of God. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And many do not even commit themselves to study the Word of God. And as a result, they continue. Even though they are free in Christ, they live as a slave to sin. See, the enemy can only keep us bound in the areas where we lack the knowledge of the truth. If you're in Christ today, if you've been born again, then you are actually already set free from the power of sin. Free from what? Sin. Free from Satan, amen? Free from our sin nature also. In other words, we have victory over that part of us, that rebellious part of us. We can control ourselves. Isn't that one of the fruits of the Spirit? Self-control. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have all the fruit. You have the Lord. Amen. And everything you need comes from Him and is freely given to you in Christ. But if we don't understand who we are in Him, who He is in us, we don't understand what's freely given to us, then we can live impoverished spiritually. Speaking right? So we've been given power in Christ over sinful lusts, over sexual immorality. We've been given power over idolatry and witchcraft and hostility and quarreling and jealousy and uncontrolled anger. God's given you the ability to overcome it. Selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy. How about drug and alcohol addiction? In Christ, you have the power over that. Amen. And other sins. Amen. Because whomsoever the Son sets free is. So I'm not to be a slave to any of these things. But if a person does not understand that, if they don't even know that that's actually their heritage as a child of God, and that their freedom is theirs in Christ, freedom, amen, from addiction, then they will continue to live as an addict, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, what happens is people fear their sin. They fear their addiction. And whatever you fear, you will bow down to. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah. We're not to fear our adversary. We're not to fear anything. Amen. Except we fear the Lord, or the healthy respect and honor for His name. Amen. But our minds need to be transformed, right? By the Word of God. So our lives reflect the reality that is Christ in me, the hope of glory. My mind has to be renewed to reflect the reality that in Christ I am a new creation. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer bound. I am a child of God. The North Korean people, they've been living in a bubble all their lives. The government tells them how to think, what to do or not do. They're slaves to the dictates of their government. The North Korean government works hard to keep their people from finding out about the freedoms that exist outside the country. Right? Censorship. Media control. Sound familiar? And they realize the truth could adversely affect their ability, hear this, to hold absolute control over the people. Do you see the type here? How many know that Satan is into communism and that control? That's what he's a control freak. And through ignorance, they can control people. If they can keep them from the truth, keep them from discovering what's outside of that bubble that they've been living in all their lives, to understand that there's actually freedom, then they can continue to keep them bound. And even when they do discover their freedom, then they will use fear to keep them bound anyways. So they'll be afraid to step out of what they're used to, into the great unknown, if you will. So likewise, our adversary, the devil, he wants to keep us from knowing the truth that would set us free from his lies. Because if you think you're a slave, you'll live like a slave. See, the demons don't want the believer to know the authority they have been given in Christ to bind and rebuke them. Keep people blind to that. So you go to your psychologist, your psychiatrist, or you take a medication so you can sleep at night. Instead of taking authority over them, amen, people run from them. And if you are afraid of something, you will bow down to it. And I can tell you from personal experience, when I was a child, there was this thing that kept manifesting in my bedroom. And it was an ugly thing. It almost looked like a Medusa, you know. And you know what a Medusa is, with all the snakes coming out of the head kind of thing? I couldn't see very clearly, but it kind of had that image. And I was so afraid of it, I called it my master. Yeah. And I go down and I tell my folks about it. And I say, hey, there's this thing coming out of my closet. And they would say, oh, you're just having a bad dream. You just go back to bed. It'll be okay. And my folks, you know, they didn't know. They just thought, well, maybe that was just, you know, kids do have bad dreams. But because I didn't understand what was going on and I didn't know how to understand how to do it, I had to kind of deal with this thing that would terrify me, and I'd be frozen in my bed, you know, terrified to move. Fast forward to today, when now I have the understanding, the knowledge of God, that in Christ, amen, I'm more than a conqueror. He's overcome the devil, amen. He's overcome the world, hallelujah. And in him, I'm also an overcomer. And I have been given authority in his name to bind those things and to command them to go, to rebuke them in Jesus' name. And they must obey me, because that is the command God gave us, to cast them out. But if a person, even in church, many Christians don't understand the authority they have in Christ. And so they live in fear. They live bound, you know, to many things and devices and addictions. And so we need to have our minds renewed, and we need to understand what Christ has actually already done and accomplished for us, that we have been liberated out of slavery by the blood of the Lamb. And we've been brought to himself. As he told you, you saw what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. They were free people, but in their minds, they still were slaves. So God wanted them to learn their identity, who they were now in the new creation. How many know what you don't know can hurt you? 2 Peter 1:2 says, grace and peace multiplied to you, here it is, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. When you begin to discover the freedom you have, amen, that I have peace today in God, amen. And see, the devil knows those who know, all right, that they have authority over him. But if a believer, even though they have confessed faith in Jesus and they may have received Jesus and they've been set free, if they don't know that they have that authority, then they will live as a slave to fear. And the enemy will begin to control and manipulate them through fear, so that he keeps them enslaved to do what he wants. But grace and peace is multiplied to us as we come to a knowledge of the truth. As his divine dunamis, his power, has given to us all things. Somebody say all things. That pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, amen, for righteousness. They shall be filled. He is the living word. Hallelujah. I say this often, but you cannot separate Jesus from his word. He is the word. If we don't understand what freedom looks like, then we live as slaves, even if we have been freed. Another example is, you know, if somebody spent years incarcerated, right? They find it difficult to adjust to life outside of prison. Can anybody identify with that? It's like you're used to this living in this controlled environment. And now all of a sudden you're out here and you're like, oh, I'm on my own. Because they were used to living, right? Under that control. So you're told when to get up, when to go to bed, what, when to eat. Once freed, they have to learn how to think and behave as freed people. No longer a prisoner, but free. So what happens? They have to learn now how to think and behave as a free person. That's what's happening. See, that's why we need the knowledge of the truth. So we learn how to live in freedom. Even as Aretha called the ladies group, L-I-F-E, right? Living in freedom and expectation. Freedom in Christ. Freedom from the power of sin. Freedom from Satan. Amen. His domain. I've been translated out of that kingdom into the kingdom of his dear son. And all things I have need of in God are freely given to me. He's given to me what? All things that pertain to life and godliness. And it comes through the knowledge of him. The more I know him, the freer I become. But if you don't commit yourself to learn, commit yourself to get into the Word, get into the study of God's Word, and find out who you are now in the new creation. And this is the struggle, as many young people, especially young people today, they don't have enough discipline to get into the Word and actually learn what the Bible has to say. And so they continue, even though they may be a believer, but they live as a slave. Is that making sense? So Satan wants to keep us ignorant as to who we are, so he can continue to control us, even though we may be free in Christ. So we may have been forgiven and delivered out of bondage, but the enemy knows that if he can keep us from believing this truth, he can keep us from walking in the freedom Christ purchased for us at the cross. He wants us to believe we're still slaves to sin, even though we are free in Christ. He wants to magnify the sin. He wants to magnify the addiction to make it look bigger than it actually is. How many know there's no sin or addiction bigger than your God? And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. And I have control over what I do in this body because God gives me that control. And I'm responsible for what I do in this body before the Lord because my body now is his property. It is his temple now. So I don't give my body over to sexual immorality. Come on, somebody. Satan wants us to believe we're still a slave. Sometimes it's just simply a lack of faith in the power of God. Listen to the word of the Lord through Moses as he spoke to Israel in Exodus 19:1. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. And verse 4, Exodus 19:4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. I shared this last week, right? And how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, why did he say this? Because he was reminding the people that they had already been liberated from the Egyptians. Amen? Consider yourself, reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God. Amen? I'm not a slave to sin. I can behave myself. I can do what's right as I rely upon the grace of God, which is freely given to me in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. He was reminding them of their freedom. You've seen what I did to the Egyptians. Having what? Been set free. We're under new management. This was the work of God, by the way. They didn't set themselves free. God did it. But we have to understand what God has done, what He's accomplished, what the cross has accomplished for us, and what is freely given to us in Christ. That we are now to enforce that freedom we have in Christ. Amen. I will not allow myself to be under the power of anything. Amen. Any substance or any being except the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a slave to God now. I've committed myself to Him. Amen. And I can do things in His will. Whatever He tells me to do within His will. Amen. I can do. So Deuteronomy 26 and 8. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Who did it? The Lord brought us out with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. I know some people, they take credit for their accomplishments as a Christian. Yet, it's by the grace of God we are who we are today. Amen. But we have to understand who we are today. We have to understand that we are free. Oh, you mean the door is open and I can walk free? Yes. Christ has already set you free. Walk in that freedom and enforce it in your life. Don't listen to that other voice that tells you you can't when God says you can. And with great terror and with signs and wonders. Now, let me just say this, though. Salvation is a work of grace. However, the blessings of God are conditioned upon our hearing and obeying His voice. As He instructed Israel in verse 5, Exodus 19:5, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Let's fast forward to today. In Christ, we are His people. Amen. We are spiritual Israel. Yes, God has a plan for natural Israel and national Israel, but we are Jew and Gentile together in one new man in Christ. And the blessings of Abraham have come upon us. Abraham was the father of those who had faith in God. He was justified because he believed God. And remember, it was God's work that liberates us and breaks the power of sin. But our minds need to be renewed to reflect that reality. And if we lack the knowledge of the truth, then we'll continue to live in bondage. I pray that you may be stirred to get into the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to discover who you are in Him and who He is. Amen? So the blessings of God are conditional. He wants to bless His people, but I've heard it said, God will not bless a mess. Amen. You can be a free person, but if you're not listening to His voice, you're not going to receive the favor or the blessing of God. How many would agree with that? Amen. So in Christ, again, we become the new spiritual Israel, Jew and Gentile together in one new man. And someone may say, well, that was the Old Testament. Well, let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. These things happen to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. That would be us. If you think that you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. He's talking about being self-confident in your walk. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Why? Because He's given you His Spirit. He's given you the ability to control yourself. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. And so like Israel of old, you and I have been slaves to sin. But that is no longer the case if we are in Christ. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that though you were, somebody say were, slaves of sin, Yet you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Well, what's the form of doctrine? It's the gospel of His grace. It's by the grace of God that we are liberated. It's by the grace of God that we have victory over our flesh every day. Amen? It's by the ability that God supplies by His Spirit. That's why we need to come to Him as Israel did every morning. Amen? And gather up the bread. Come on. They had to feed themselves so they would have the strength and nourishment they needed. Amen? To maintain a steady course in that place that they'd never been before. Because you and I, in a sense, are like in the wilderness now, aren't we? We're kind of like in this place of preparation, if you will, for what's up ahead. That's what I'm talking about. Is there's going to be wilderness experiences. There's going to be dry times. There's going to be times when you are going to need, amen, just to simply rely upon the manna, okay, and the water. Have you ever been in a place where all you had was some manna and maybe a little water, but you were trusting in the Lord that you were going to get through this place that you're in? Amen? Come on, sometimes we just find ourselves in the wilderness. You can't always live on the mountaintop. Nothing grows up there anyways. But 1 Timothy 2:4, God is talking about who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave His life to purchase what? Freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. That's how people are saved. By coming to a knowledge of the truth. When they hear the gospel of their salvation. When they discover that the Lord has paid for their sin at the cross. And that in Christ they can be liberated from the consequences of their sin. Amen. And now because they have received Christ and Christ is in them, He has given them the ability now to walk as a free person, amen, free from the power of sin, free from Satan, as a free moral agent yet with a choice to make every day who we will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We make the decision that we will serve Him, that we will live for Him, that we will obey the Spirit and deny the flesh, that other part that rebels against the will of God. And you do that because God has given you the ability to do that by His grace. We just need to remind ourselves that, listen, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Now we belong to Jesus. Now we live by the power of God in the Holy Spirit. We're sons and daughters through the new birth. And Galatians 4:6 says, and because you are sons, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So, since Jesus, as God's Son, is heir of all God's riches, hear it, the Christian is also an heir of God through Christ, in God. We also are an heir. Heir means all that God has belongs to us by faith in Christ. Come on. If you are a son, if you are a daughter, you are part of the family and everything your father has is yours. That also means everything I have belongs to Him. And everything I have is something He gave me anyways. I don't have anything I gave myself, really. As far as my abilities, who I am as a person, God created me this way. So if we're going to do any boasting, let's praise the Lord. Amen. Everyone who is born of God is a son. and immediately brought into the inheritance as an heir. You see, if we don't understand this, if we don't know this, if we don't believe, then we will continue to live impoverished, spiritually speaking. We'll still live bound. Amen? Because the enemy can only keep you under his control in the areas where you lack the knowledge of the truth. So we need to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to teach us, to reveal to us who we are in this new identity in Christ, not being just a patch up of the old thing, but a new creation in Christ Jesus. So as heirs of the kingdom, we must learn what sonship means before we can live out that reality. Isn't that true? That's why we need to know. Again, we need to know the truth. Now, listen, children of royalty, they're heirs by birth. Okay? But they must be trained in the disciplines of kingdom living. They're not automatically, you know, behaving themselves, knowing how to conduct themselves, how to behave, right? Now, they have to be taught to walk a certain way, talk a certain way, think a certain way, and speak a certain way. Even though they're an heir at birth, they have to learn how to walk, how to talk, how to conduct themselves, how to behave. Amen? Come on. And then also to understand that, hey, I am royalty. Are you royalty today? In Christ, we're royalty. We're a royal priesthood. As long as a person believes they're a slave, they will continue to live as such. So even though, again, once again, Israel had been delivered out of Egypt, but in their minds, they still fought like slaves. So they needed to learn how to walk in the newfound freedom. They needed to stop thinking like slaves and understand that they were sons. Likewise, God is teaching us how to walk as sons, as heirs of the throne and no longer slaves of sin. As a child of God, the devil can't make you do anything. Come on, Adam and Eve weren't forced to sin. They made the choice to disobey God. That's right. So when a person comes to know the truth, their life will reflect that reality. And again, and even as these dictators, amen, don't want their people to know the freedoms outside of that bubble they live in, so the enemy wants to keep people entrapped, amen, and with a lack of understanding of who they are in Christ and what is freely given to them, and that they are actually heirs and that they're actually free people, amen, and that they're no longer bound by the devil. If they don't understand that, then they will live bound. The fact is, the devil no longer owns you if you belong to Christ. And he hates to relinquish his control over you. But how does he control us? Through lies. He controls us through his lies. If we don't know the truth, then we will live the lie. And if people refuse to learn and study and understand the truth, then they will live a lie. You will live a lie if you don't have the truth. Even as a believer, you can live a lie if you don't understand who you are. If you don't know what's freely given to you in Christ, if you don't know the fact that you are royalty, that you've been set free, that you belong to Jesus, you're no longer a slave to sin, the power of sin has been broken in your life, you just need to come to the revelation that, hey, I'm no longer bound by sin. I can control myself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is the strength of my life. I just need to change my thinking. I need to change my mind. I have to repent. First Corinthians 6:20, here it is. For you were bought at a price. The highest price was paid for you, the blood of our Savior. Amen. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. Why? Because you can. You can give God glory now. We've been rescued from spiritual slavery by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to walk in this new life He purchased for us at the cross. As sons and daughters, we're already free from the bondage of sin and death. Hallelujah. Enforce that freedom, as we say. Amen. How many free people are in here this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, if you're here today and maybe you haven't come into this freedom, you haven't really been born again, maybe you're just in a place where you're learning a little bit about the Lord and His ways, but you're not really sure if you have been born again, if the Spirit of Christ is in you. Listen, you need to be born again before you can even become an heir to even begin to know who you are in the new creation. You can't just improve your old life, amen? The old life has to be done away with. You have to become a new creation. And that's why Jesus came. He came to save us from ourselves, amen? To give us a new heart and to put His Spirit within us. And that Spirit will begin to cry out, Abba, Father, you become an heir, a child of God. And so if you're here today and you're not born again, then none of this is going to apply to you. But God wants you today to enter into His freedom, to become a son, to become a daughter. But it's your choice. He stands at the door and He knocks. Would you bow your heads? And He said, if you hear My voice today and you open the door, I will come in. Give Him access. Allow Him to have you. Jesus died on that cross so you could be forgiven for all your sins. Praise God. But we must confess our sins. If you confess your sins to God, if you come clean, if you are honest with God and confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it. Jesus paid for that. You don't have to live in that anymore. And if you've already confessed that, then you enforce that by believing the truth that He has forgiven you. He has received you. And walk in that freedom. Enforce it in your life. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy, the accuser. Jesus sets you free. Hallelujah. Just open your heart to Him. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. Exchange the old for the new. As you give Him your life, He will give you His life. If you're honest with Him and you're willing to confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you're here today and you're carrying the weight of guilt, I want you to give it to Jesus right now. I want you to confess that to Him and just ask the Lord to forgive you. And by faith, receive it and thank Him for the cross. Thank Him for the blood that He shed for you. And live forgiven. God wants you to be a citizen of heaven. Would you turn to Him? Give Him your whole heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender, Lord. Lord, I give you my life. Father, I pray your kingdom come. And your will be done in each one of us. Father, we pray that we will all finish well, finish with joy, and hear you say in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Oh, holy God, we love you so much and appreciate you for all you've done for us, Father, for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, for the new creation, for the new heart that desires what you desire. And hates what you hate. Lord, thank you for liberty today. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. If you're in Christ today, you're free. Enforce your freedom. Walk in that freedom. Hallelujah. If you're bound by anything, any addiction, you need to claim the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life right now. By faith, amen. Believe on Him. Trust Him for grace for you to overcome. And I want to ask, no one look around right now, but if there's anybody here who's saying, you know what, I'm struggling with addiction in my life, but I want to be set free from it. And I'd like you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? I want to just pray for you. If you're struggling with addiction in your life and you need deliverance from that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're not sure of your salvation today, would you raise your hand? Say, I'd like you to pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm really saved, if I've been born again, but I want to be. Anybody here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. May God bless each one of you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. Hallelujah. All right. Enforce that in your life. Amen. Go and walk in the freedom and maintain that freedom in your life. Hallelujah. And Brother Wayne is going to share something with us in closing.
This prophecy is not from me. Just want you to know that. But it's something I believe the voice of God would say to you this morning. I have known you from the beginning, from before you took your first step, before you breathed your first breath, before you were even conceived. I have seen all your tears and have known all your sorrows and wounds and pains, all your longings and hopes, all your fears, your dreams and heartbreaks, your burdens and weariness, your times of asking me why, your cries of loneliness and emptiness, your times of separation, your mourning for what was lost, your weaknesses and failings, your wanderings, your sins and shame, and I have still loved you with an everlasting love. And now I call to you to leave the darkness and all that is past and all that I never willed or purposed for your life, that the days of your separation would come to an end. It is time now to return. It is time to come home, to enter the inheritance of blessing you never knew but were born to enter. It's time for your jubilee. Come to me, and I will not turn you away, but will receive you, and I will wipe away all your tears, and I will forgive all your sins. I will heal all your wounds. I will turn all your sorrows into joy, and you will forget your days of darkness and wandering, the days of your separation, and I will make all things new. And I will bring you into a land where the crippled walk, where deserts bloom, where the blind see, where the defiled become pure, where that which is lost is found again. I will bring you to a place you have never known and yet always have longed to be, to your promised land, and I will never leave you, and you will never again know what it is to be lost. For in that day you will have come home. You will be mine. And I will be yours forever. Lord, bless your people today. I thank you have a place for us, Lord. You have rescued us from this world. You have lifted us, Lord. You have carried us along and brought us here to where we are here in this building, this day, this hour, at this occasion. And God, you love every single person here. And I pray, God, that you will touch their hearts. I pray that you will bring your comfort, wrap them in your arms, Lord, that your presence would come down and encircle them. God, that you would bless them above and beyond what they could ever ask or think. And, Lord, I pray that you will lift them up and help them to become the people that you have called them to be. Lord, that they will come and stand in that place, and they will seek you, and they will walk with you, and they will talk with you. They will commune with you. They will have fellowship with you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the lover of our soul who has never given up on us. Lord, bless your people this day. Touch their hearts. Cause them to walk in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.